objective of this presentation is give you some idea how we can design accurate solvers on arbitrary meshes. In this particular case, I will discuss mainly case of chemical reactions with icosahedral meshing. However, these results are also applicable on arbitrary manifolds, so it could be extended also to other applications. And also, I believe that this presentation will address also some issues of coupling of processes with different scales, because in natural way, advection and chemical reaction are characterized by vastly different time scales. In terms of current experience with this type of modeling, we can say that we are dealing with essentially mass conservation equation for a series of tracer fields or scalar fields which can interact through complex nonlinear terms. So this equation essentially, this is used mainly to describe chemistry, however it could be also used as model of other processes and fluids. So in many ways this presentation will address also more general aspects, not just chemistry. And we apply this type of model for very various vast range of tracers, including tropospheric ozone, stratospheric ozone, transport of aerosols, toxic substances, and nuclear tracers. Most of these models were quite well verified. However, main problem which is being now felt is that we need more flexibility in terms of meshing. So I believe that just relying on structure quadrilateral meshes is not always the most flexible solution. And objective which was posed here was to generalize existing solvers to arbitrary triangular meshes on curved manifolds. And also very important aspect was to couple this with complex nonlinear solvers for complex chemical forcings. And also quite significant task here is to avoid too excessive use of splitting, because in most cases very often we deal with dynamics and splitting as almost two separate entities, and very often in systems which are far from equilibrium it is much safer to deal with this equation in consistent format, one operator. So I will also try to show you how to define this type of operator on arbitrary triangular mesh on curved manifolds. And usually it starts for a relatively standard construction, set of triangles which are connected to our nodal point are usually divided by points which are located in center of mass, and in the same way edges of triangles are also divided by half. And when we connect center of masses with centers of edges, we define something which is called adjoint mesh. In order to be more accurate, we can project all these bisections points on manifold in order to reduce error by approximation of a curved manifold by planes. And later on, basic mass conservation relation, which follows from generalized Green theorem, could be used in order to discretize transport or mass conservation equation on this type of arbitrary dual mesh on a curved manifold. The dual mesh is this darker area. It could be spherical in the case of sphere. In case of general manifold, it's something else. But in case of sphere, we have spherical triangles. I found from my experience that this is more accurate than just trying to approximate. Yeah, it makes a significant difference. So, as I'm saying, this is very general. However, in my recent work, I'm just used a relatively standard way of generation of mesh based on icosahedron embedded in the sphere and bisection method, which is relatively well known and established. But the scheme is formulated in general fashion and could be used also for spherical geodesic meshes generated in different ways. So we can go with bisection of this initial icosahedron relatively high to generate relatively high resolution mesh. And most experiments which will be shown here in this presentation were done for iteration 6, so not shown because it's becoming too cluttered in terms of depiction of mesh system. And one important problem which I observed during this type of generation of icosahedral mesh is related to connectivity matrix, which is very important when we try to formulate algorithms in general meshes. When we arrange our nodes in natural way, which means that we are adding new nodes to on the top of previous nodes, connectivity matrix is relatively wide band, which is not very good for efficient implementation of algorithms on parallel computers. And it's quite interesting that by rearranging order of nodes, we can minimize vastly connectivity matrix for this type of mesh, which is very important from the point of view of application and efficiency. So, in order to follow with description of discretization of advection problem, we can note that we can define for each length interval connecting center of a triangle with center of edge normal vectors, which are obtained relatively simple as vector products of position vectors. In this case, I'm assuming that sphere is having radius 1 in order to simplify notation. And when we note that we can obtain normal vectors in such a way, discretization of advective term is becoming quite simple. We just perform summation of fluxes on each half of this for each edge, and we perform summation all edges which are connected to specific nodal point. And what is the most difficult problem here, because this is relatively standard, is how to define interface value for this type of discretization of advective operator. Because between different schemes, we have just mainly difference how we evaluate interface value. And we can obtain either very low or relatively good accuracy depending on how we define this. So essentially, what we are doing now here, we are converting our partial differential equation to this set of ordinary differential equation with this operator A, which is described explicitly by this formula. So now, the simplest way to discretize this advection problem is to use upwind method. In case of upwind method, interface values for inflow points are these points, and for our outflow points on the edge are nodal points. And this is exactly the same as on rectangular Cartesian meshes, and behavior of the scheme is very similar. Scheme is having excellent phase properties, but extremely lousy ability to maintain amplitude. And of course, this is being shown mainly for didactic purposes. However, it is worthwhile to keep this upwind operator as some kind of limiter when solving a transport equation with higher order schemes. So, essentially, three most practical ways to proceed with formulation of higher order scheme is to interpolate this value in the center from value of I and connected points using polynomial formulas. And I use linear, third order, and fifth order formulas. And in case of a fifth order formula, we are assuming that we know in this point first and second derivative as well as in nodal point I. And what is interesting is that we can obtain a very simple relation evaluating interface value based on values of function and derivatives in nodes of this tridiagonal mesh. And in order to make it more practical for implementation, we can define vectors which are tangent to arches connected I with j from I from these formulas. And again, I'm reminding sphere is with radius 1. And after substitution to the original formula, we get something like this. This is still quite complicated and not easy to further analysis of the scheme. But we can write this operator in much more compact notation when we introduce explicit definition of gradient operator, again from generalized Gauss theorem, and several auxiliary matrices which I'm calling structure matrices of this mesh. And we can obtain relatively compact representation of advection equation using only gradients gx, gy, gz in direction of Cartesian coordinates, and h, which are previously defined structure operators. And in fact, it is interesting that it's possible to achieve very high order of accuracy in a very compact way. And again, same problem as with connectivity matrix. When we order nodes in, let's say, not correct way, we have very sparse stencil, very wide stencil of the operator. When we arrange nodes in better way to minimize footprint of the operator, we are obtaining very efficient and narrow band representation of this advection equation on arbitrary mesh. In this particular case, I was speaking mainly about sphere, but again, I want to say that it is valid for arbitrary curve manifold in three-dimensional space. Okay, there are algorithms to formally resort elements of this of matrix to minimize. Okay, and just to give you geometrically what this means. This good order is like peeling of orange or apple ordering. And it's not obvious, but because, for example, when we start with this type of mesh, we usually divide nodes by diamonds. And it's not producing the most narrow band. But again, this is observation which came to my attention just recently. I just noted that it's possible to optimize this algorithm in very easy way, just by
Did you peel it, or did you use a black box algorithm?
Okay, I used black box algorithm, and later I arrived at the conclusion, oops, this is something like peeling apple. But it's quite interesting that from formal algorithm of minimization of band of matrix, we can obtain relatively nice geometric intuition. And so we are now with a very large set of ordinary differential equations. Typical size is about, for iteration 6, will be around 4,000 by 40,000 something. And how to solve it, because we are still facing the issue of time integration. So the simplest way is to use just Taylor series expansion and generate algorithm which is similar in spirit to Lax-Vandroff method. But again, it's not the most accurate. We can also try to apply directly Runge-Kutta algorithm, which is sort of workhorse of ordinary differential equations. And what it was actually, I was applying this without noticing much deeper underlying theory which is behind it. When we substitute all these expressions for F1 to F4 to explicit formula for advancing time step, we can actually notice that fourth order Runge-Kutta algorithm is exactly equivalent to truncated exponential of operator. So in many ways, we can say that arbitrary order Runge-Kutta method is equivalent to proper truncation of analytical solution of this complex system of ordinary differential equations. And in fact, in terms of programming, it's even simpler just to use explicit formula which results from this explicit expansion of Runge-Kutta algorithm. But it's interesting because this actually brings to our attention some more interesting properties of the system, because based on spectrum of this total operator, we can design various ways of advancing solution. For example, For advection, we can truncate it relatively fast. When we add chemistry, we see that the situation is much more complicated because stiffness of the spectrum of operator. So just to show you how it works, I perform several standard tests, and I will show you just one of the most common, which involves rotation through pole. And this is the cosine hill starting from the position on the equator and going to north and south pole back to original position. Using fourth order time integration with fifth order polynomial for evaluation of interface values. So after quarter rotation, after 0.75, and after one rotation. And solution is quite correct, is center where it should be. Perhaps there are small imperfections in terms of general position. However, solution is quite good, like for Eulerian schemes, because for most cases, Eulerian schemes usually are not performing as well for this type of rotation through pole. And this is cross-section along south-north direction, where red dots are analytical solution and blue line is numerical solution. And just to give you idea, when we use third order polynomial to evaluate interface value and second order time integration, solution is not at all as good as in the case of the higher order integration. Certainly. However, same parameters of the cosine hill. Of course, if we add resolution, we can probably get away with lower order algorithm, but it's a common paradigm of numerical integration. A, but this is operator, it's matrix. In case of sparse matrices, it's easier. At least in this case, I took only four terms, which in case of sparse operator is very fast.
Oh, no.
It will be impossible. Okay, and this is an interesting observation. When we apply, I just did it without really planning to do this. I took this fourth order in time algorithms, combined even with just third order polynomial for evaluation of interface values, and I ran same experiment with current number 1.5, and results are also quite acceptable and stable. And I believe that this is related probably to relatively wide stencil of this operator, total resulting operator. The scheme is stable for current numbers larger than one. And this probably requires more formal analysis of the spectrum of this operator, wavelength. But consistently is stable for current numbers that larger than one. On top of advection, we very often need diffusion. And in this particular case, it's relatively easy to extend algorithm just by adding formally products of the form gradient x, kxx, gradient x. All these G's are sparse matrices which were derived before. And we can advance solution for total operator B, which includes advective term, which was shown before, plus this diffuses. And time advancing is accomplished along the same lines as for just pure advection. In case of chemistry, situation is becoming slightly more complicated, and this is probably where we are really facing the issue of coupling. Because when we write formally our system for the case of n interacting tracers, we are getting into a relatively complicated nonlinear problem, which is not trivial to analyze formally. So, first step when and ordering here of elements of the state vector is first we have number species for all nodes, and we repeat this for a number of chemical species or some interactive fields if we want to see this in more general terms. So first step when we analyze 5 minutes, okay, it's almost done. First step when we really can say something about this is to just linearize our system. And what we can notice is that Jacobian could be presented as superposition or sum of transport and chemistry part. With respect to transport part, is no problem. In terms of chemistry part of Jacobian, it is very complicated to deal with this because system is extremely steep, which means that it contains extremely large range of eigenvalues. And still is some debate which algorithm is best for this type of application. My personal opinion right now is that best compromise between requirements of efficiency, accuracy, it could be obtained by semi-implicit Runge-Kutta-Rosenbrock method, which is written here in following compact way. Really, only one problem here in calculation is inversion of this unit matrix minus some coefficient multiplying chemical Jacobian in original point. However, for many chemical systems, I noted that we can actually formally invert Jacobian of chemical system and store it once forever. And considering the fact that the chemical Jacobian is sort of block diagonal matrix, this means that we can obtain solution of very complex and almost not tractable chemical problem using very small number of operations. And consequently, this also will lead to total avoidance of type splitting, which for systems which are not necessarily at chemical equilibrium would be probably the best way to achieve correct solutions. Right now, I'm experimenting using this Rosenbrock Runge-Kutta algorithm for various systems involving stratospheric and tropospheric chemistry. And I can say you that right now potential for saving of time of computation is of the order of two orders of magnitude by avoiding multiple iteration in gear-like algorithms. For total system, because in fact this... No, this is for total system because state vector is we have nodes and species. This is in total, and I did some experiments again on this iteration 6 for formation of stratospheric ozone, and it looks like the system is converging. However, it requires more calculation in order to get some final conclusion. I'm in process of doing this. And however, just relating to your talk, I believe that this is very much related because what we are dealing here is just interaction of processes with various scales. And what you mentioned in your talk, when we separate forcing terms into two parts representing small, slow, and fast scales, this is exactly the same here. We separate Jacobian for stiff and not stiff parts. Probably in many ways, some further mathematics for this analysis is related to formal analysis of Rosenbrock Runge-Kutta algorithms. So in many ways, these two ideas of chemistry and interacting physical processes are converging in some sense. Thank you.